We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to Light Years. Sitting in for Andy Liu today is Kyle Madsen. Kyle, what's up, my man?
Hey, not a lot. Just chilling, hanging out, watching the A's get their shit pushed in by the Yankees, and having a good night.
Yeah, the A's are really... it's just a lot of fun to be an A's fan right now. Yeah, anyway.
It's a blast.
Yeah. So I wanted to bring you on because you follow all the teams in the Bay Area, same way I do. And I thought it'd be a fun topic to discuss which Bay Area team's going to win a title next. So obviously we've got the Warriors, we've got the 49ers, we've got San Francisco Giants, the Oakland A's. No disrespect to the San Jose Sharks, but we are not counting them on this show. But hey, if you want to call in and make an impassioned plea for why the Sharks will be the next Bay Area team to win a title, I will allow it. I'm just not going to focus on them today. Same with the Earthquakes. Same with college sports. We're not counting. Actually, you know what?
Pro all team your, to win a title.
Yeah, all your cutesy Cal rugby, Stanford women's hoops comments out the window because we're talking only pro sports right now.
Yeah.
So let's get into this right now. So I feel like the best way to do this is we'll go team by team, and we can make a for and against case. So it's a Warriors show, so we got to start with the Warriors, right?
Yeah.
So my case for the Warriors is this. They've done it before. We know that a core of Steph, Klay, and Draymond can win a title. Steph is still Steph Curry. We're getting Klay Thompson back this season. The other pieces around them are a question mark, but if you're a believer that the Warriors are a contender, it starts with the idea that Klay comes back, he looks like Klay Thompson that we all know, and that puts pressure on the Warriors to make a move around the trade deadline. And honestly, I don't think this team needs a lot if Klay comes back. They need some veteran players. They need guys who are not teenagers. They need guys who are above the drinking age, basically, is where I'm at with this. Like, no disrespect to James Wiseman, Jonathan Kuminga, Moses Moody. Probably not in the top 5-7 of your playoff rotation if you're serious about getting deep into the playoffs. So that's my case for the Warriors right there.
Yeah, the biggest question, I guess, I mean, this is the case for. So, yeah, anything that involves the Warriors winning a title in the near future, because all the teams that we're going to talk about tonight are you know, relatively close. At least you can make the case. And the biggest thing is Klay Thompson. That's kind of the fulcrum of all this to me. So if he's going to come back and be maybe not even this year, but by the start of next season, if he's 90% of the Klay Thompson that got hurt during the 2019 finals, if he's 90% of that player, 85%, I think then you can have a Curry, Draymond, Thompson trio winning the title with those three guys as your best players.
Yeah. I feel like your next year is kind of the operative point. There is a chance that Klay comes back and he looks, I mean, he's not going to look like Kevin Durant, but you know how like KD looked like he didn't miss a beat off Achilles. Like there is a chance that's the case for Klay. I would say it's more likely it takes him the whole year to shake off the rust. And the following year would be the year that if he has no setbacks that we get like the 2019 Klay Thompson we're hoping for.
Right.
So, I mean, there is a world in which he comes back, he looks better than you expect, particularly because his game isn't overly dependent on athleticism. And then the Warriors are good at the trade deadline. They make – it doesn't even need to be a superstar move. It just literally needs to be like – I mean, Milwaukee added P.J. Tucker. They don't win the title without P.J. Tucker. As right. mediocre as he was for large stretches of the playoffs, they just don't get past Brooklyn without P.J. Tucker. He Correct. Made a lot of impact. You can even go back to like Toronto in 2019. They don't win the title without Marc Gasol. Marc Gasol was not one of like the three or four best players on that team, but he came in, he played a vital role in helping them get past Philly, who nearly knocked them off. Those are the type of moves I'm talking about. If you have Klay Thompson back, maybe you trade a young player for just an established veteran who just pumps up your rotation. And then when you get in the playoffs, you know, it's not just kind of Steph, Klay, Draymond, you know, you can count on Looney, you got Wiggins. And then after that, it's like, all right, it's all kids, you know, like just something like that. But I think to your point, the more operative thing is if everything breaks right for the Warriors, they have a better shot in 2022-23, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I have a question about that though. Let's do 2022-2023. Can they win a championship if Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green are their three best players?
I think it's possible, but I think every year they get older. Man. They need more out of the supporting cast.
Right.
That's really what it comes down to. Like every year they get older, they have to be a little more like those San Antonio Spurs in the early part of the decade where you're like, yeah, we know like Tony and Tim and Manu are the three guys here, but goddamn, they have like a nine-man rotation where like any of those nine players can be the man that one night. Like Marco Bellinelli can score 25 tonight. Kawhi, who is like 22 at that point, can score 25 tonight, that sort of thing.
Right. And that's why I have a question about the Warriors. That's my biggest question about the Warriors. And I know that we'll talk about the case against it, but is there any path to where they win a championship with Jonathan Kuminga and Moses Moody on the roster? Or will those guys have to be moved to get a veteran caliber talent that's going to help out?
I do think there's a path to where they win a title with these young guys on the roster, but that path almost assuredly doesn't happen in 2021-22, right?
Right.
So we're talking about maybe Steph's prime is a little longer than people think. Maybe it gets to 35, 36. Maybe it's 2023-24, and those young guys are really coming into their own, and Steph, Klay, and Draymond are still effective. In some ways, kind of like what's going on with the Giants, where everyone thought like, you know, kind of Posey and Crawford, like they were done. And then they have like a resurgent year. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that's a good transition point because I feel like the smarter bet, like for the Warriors is probably in 2 years. And if that's the case, you're betting against the Giants or Niners winning a title in the next 2 years. Which, like, ultimately, the point of this exercise is who wins next, right?
Right.
So let's take it to the next team. I feel like we should probably go Niners next, and then get to the baseball teams. So,
sure.
So why don't you make the case for the Niners?
The case for the Niners starts with their health. If Nick Bosa and Dee Ford are going to be healthy, their defensive line is going to be really good, and that's a defense that's built front to back. We saw the kind of impact a really good pass rush and a really good defensive line can have in their Super Bowl run in 2019. I don't know if their defense can, because their window is this year. Like, they can win it this year.
Right.
So if they're going to do that, it starts with that defensive line. It's Fred Warner in the middle. Their front seven is honestly has a chance to be one of the best in the NFL. And even if their defense takes a step back in 2019, they can still be a top 10 or 11 unit. That's plenty.
I was going to say that 2019 front seven was as good as I've seen. Like I've never seen a team make Aaron Rodgers look that futile in general. So like the bar is pretty high in terms of like, they don't even need to be that good to be dominant.
Yeah. And that's, to your point, I never thought I'd see a front seven as good as the 2012 squad. And it's a little different, you know, it's a different, different scheme and whatnot. But that 2019 team was right there. It was right up there. So even if they take a step back, like you said, they'll still be really good. The big thing on offense is like Kyle Shanahan's going to have them scoring points regardless of who's under center. But is it Jimmy Garoppolo and him kind of doing what he did in 2019, but they just finished the job this time? Is it Jimmy Garoppolo taking a step up from where he was in 2019, which I have questions about whether there's another level for him to reach. And then if it is Trey Lance, if Trey Lance does at some point take over as the starter, can he become the first rookie ever to get to a Super Bowl and B, win a Super Bowl? That's the biggest concern for the 49ers is their quarterback play. But if they do get a little bit better version of Jimmy Garoppolo than they got in 2019, then they'll have a shot. Like the NFC is pretty open. I know Tampa Bay is there. Green Bay is going to be good again. The Rams, I think, are going to be really good. The Seahawks are always in the mix, but there's no team where if you have to bet 10 grand that you're like, yes, I'm for sure betting on that team to win the NFC. So I think it's going to be pretty open. And if they can get good quarterback play from either Jimmy Garoppolo or Trey Lance with their defense playing, like I said, at a top 10 or 11 level, they're going to be there in the mix and could definitely win it all.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like if you took quarterbacks out of the equation, I would say the Niners have as good, maybe the best roster in the NFL. But you can't take quarterback out of the equation.
Right.
Yeah. Like
it's the most important position on the field.
They're like stacked across the board at every position, just a fundamentally sound team with like playmakers on offense and defense at every position. And, you know, I don't even think they have bad quarterbacks. It's just like, do I feel as safe with Jimmy or a rookie as I do with like Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers? Like, obviously not. Right. That's what it comes down to there. So I could absolutely see the Niners winning it all. But again, it feels like the quarterback situation is more about like extending the window. Like Trey Lance can be phenomenal and they may run into like a Kansas City situation where he's like the second coming of Jesus and like they win, like they have like the next decade plus of competition. But like in the short term, I don't know what it means for this season when you have a question mark at quarterback, because they are the only quote unquote contender who has a question mark at quarterback. Yeah. Like literally that's it. Tampa, we know who the guy is. Green Bay, we know who it is. Go to the AFC side, Kansas City, Baltimore. Who am I forgetting? Like, you know, all these teams have like,
just whether Buffalo.
Yeah, it should throw Buffalo in there too. Like whether they're a star or just like a guy, they all have like a quarterback. They know who they're aligned with. So it makes the Niners a 50-50 bet. Like I could see the Niners winning multiple Super Bowls this decade. They have that much talent. And if it comes together, they might like, you know, win 3 in 5 years or something ridiculous like that. But I don't know if I'm willing to bet on them to win it all this year because he's a rookie. And if they're not winning it with him, then it's about Jimmy. And I can't really think of a scenario where a team like drafted the guy they want to be their franchise guy, but then happened to win it with the placeholder guy who's there right now. So it's all kind of weird. So I feel like that takes us next to the Giants. The Giants are going to get the first shot at this because the World Series will come before the Super Bowl or the NBA Finals. So, and they're in a nice little position. So I'll let you make the case for the Giants.
The Giants are the best team in baseball. They get timely hitting. They've gotten just enough pitching. Logan Webb in the second half has been unbelievable. And if you're in a game seven situation with the way he's been pitching, you feel really good about it. Gabe Kapler's done a really nice job with their bullpen, and Farhan Zaidi has done a really good job of kind of mixing and matching pieces there to give Kapler the tools to put together one of baseball's better bullpens after we went into the year. Even through the first few weeks of the season, like, holy crap, this is going to be a problem for this team. It hasn't been. They've been really reliable. Their starting rotation has been one of the best in baseball. And like I said, they just their roster construction makes them just really hard to beat, whether you have a lefty or a righty on the mound. I hesitate to call them lucky because they're obviously really good, but they've gotten these wins that this year it's like, man, bad teams don't pull those games out, or you know, mediocre teams don't pull those out. They're just kind of consistently winning ball games that they have no business winning. And I don't think that's necessarily a fluke. So the case is that they are, I think, of the teams left, they are the most well-rounded. And that's with respect to the Dodgers, who are playing a lot better. And we can talk about them a little bit later. But
yeah, it's
of the contenders, you have to look at the Giants and figure, you know, man, they've done it for 127 games or whatever it is now. You like their chances against anybody in a short series.
Yeah, so I agree with everything you're saying. They're objectively really good. Like, the biggest thing holding them back is the team with the most talent happens to be second place in their division. Like, and they happen to have the second best record in baseball. Like, it's kind of weird that they're going to probably play in the division series, and that might be the two best teams in baseball, just because the way the whole seeding thing works with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
But putting that aside, I'm trying to decide, because we all agree baseball is probably the sport that has the most random playoff outcomes. Like, NBA has the least. Rarely does not the best team win in basketball. Baseball, we see it. We see teams catch fire who are maybe flawed, maybe not the best team in the league all the time, win the World Series. And I'm trying to figure out, does that play to the Giants' advantage or disadvantage? Because on the one hand, with the Warriors, there's a lot of like asterisks, like, well, Clay comes back healthy and they make the right moves around Clay, then boom, they're in it. You know, those are like a couple buts that have to happen. The Niners, obviously, it's like everything's like, well, if Trey hits the ground fast or Jimmy figures something out and gets, like, you know, consistent in the way he was in 19, et cetera, all that sort of stuff. Like, the Giants, I don't know, really have those question marks. It's just kind of like they're going to enter the playoffs with the best record, and it's baseball. Anything can happen in the playoffs.
Yeah, but I love this team's – this is such a lame, like, baseball guy thing. I typically want something empirical, something like numbers-based that I can look at. But sometimes a team just kind of like you like them in a tough situation. And when I look at the Giants, if they're in, you know, ninth inning tie game with the Dodgers in a game seven of a guess it'd be game five of an NLDS, I would like the Giants in that spot, because we've seen them do it time and time again this year. And I don't know how much that matters, but I like the fact that they've played in all these close games, and they continue to kind of pull these close games out, where I don't think there's going to be a situation for them that they're going to step in and say this moment's too big, especially with guys like Crawford and Posey and Evan Longoria and all these guys who have kind of been around and been in those spots before.
Yeah, that definitely plays their advantage. I mean, my counter will be, I'm not sure how much I believe in their pitching relative to the Dodgers, the Brewers, and a couple of the teams that just have more seasoned high-end pitchers.
Sure.
Maybe that's the A's fan in me who's watched smoke and mirrors pitchers continually get like exposed in the postseason. Actually, no, I know for a fact that's the A's fan in me.
Right.
With that logic. So,
but that's just it. Like, we've seen this exact type of team before be awesome in the regular season, and then go into a series against a team like the Dodgers that's going to roll out in a five-game series Max Scherzer maybe twice, or Walker Buehler maybe twice, and then Julio Urias. Like, that's a that's really tough. And then their lineup is awesome up and down the lineup. And you're throwing Kevin Gausman out there, who hasn't been great in the second half. I mentioned Logan Webb's been really good, and then Johnny Cueto. Like, you like that trio in a 5-game set against a lineup like the Dodgers? Like, on paper, no.
But it's worked all year. I will say this. The one thing that really plays to the Giants' favor in a best-of-five series against the Dodgers is the Dodgers are going to have to blow one of their two aces in the wild card game. Good point. So that alone is an advantage, and I feel like I'd rather play the Dodgers in a best-of-five where I know that they're only getting one start out of Scherzer or Buehler, whichever guy they throw out there.
That's fair.
Then a best of seven where you might face Scherzer and Buehler a combined five times. Like, that just feels like, I mean, if you can beat that, you know, hat tip to you, right? But if you're facing them in a series where you might only face those guys 2.5 times in five games and they don't have a chance to extend your rotation and let their lineup like really get comfortable facing your pitchers like 2 to 3 times, that could play to your advantage. So, but anyway, that's a different thing. So let's make a decision here. Who do you like among Bay Area teams to win a title next? And then after that, I'm going to open it up to callers and see what they
are. Are we not going to make a case for the A's?
All right, we'll make a case for the A's. We'll make a case for the A's. They were down 6-0 to the Yankees, and they just put 5 runs back on them. They're back in this game. We're obviously recording it mid-game, so who knows what the result is. And maybe this starts the run. Maybe it does. I don't know.
Watch out.
I just feel like the A's missed their window with this team going cheap. Like, honestly, this team should have peaked in about 2020. Then the pandemic hit, and then, of course, they made a decision. God forbid they ever run up their payroll in any capacity ever, you know?
Right.
And it feels like it's a wrap for this core. Like, they had their shot.
Can I tell you what sucks about this year in particular?
I mean, I have all night, so go.
The case for the A's winning it all is James Kaprielian and Sean Manaea figure it out and are lights out. They're a lights out 1-2 down the stretch. Chris Bassett comes back and is back just immediately in ace form for the playoffs, and that gives them this really good starting three that can shorten games where they don't have to dig too far into their bullpen in the playoffs. And then, like, Starling Marte stays hot, and Chapman and Olsen get hot at the same time, and they get enough from the rest of their lineup to.
They do have the talent. They do have a requisite amount of talent for this stuff to happen. Yeah. Yes.
So that's what sucks, because I would love to see this exact team, but give me Ramon Laureano not suspended, give me Chris Bassett healthy, and give me Trevor Rosenthal healthy.
Sure.
That puts the bat they need back in their lineup, plus the Laureano's plus-plus defense, instead of Seth Brown or Steven Piscotty or whoever the hell else. You get Trevor Rosenthal in the back end of the bullpen, so Lou Trevino doesn't have to be your closer anymore. He can become your eighth-inning guy, and you can push everybody down the bullpen, and you don't have to rely so much on Yusmeiro Petit.
No Petit slander will be allowed here.
Sorry. you can give him the highly deserved break that he has earned. And then you have Chris Bassett at the start, at the top of your rotation with Kaprielian and Manaea. Like I said, you'd feel really good about that trio going into a playoff series. So I would love to see a full version of this A's team, because I think it clears up a lot of the problems that you foresee with them even, you know, trying to make the playoffs, much less make a playoff run. So that's what's so painful about this year. A, what you brought up, like, it feels like they missed the window, but B, I think the window would still be open if those three guys, two of which are hurt, one of which is suspended, were just playing right now.
I do agree with you. And then, by the way, you're forgetting Mark Canna. He's hit one home run since he went on the IL with the hip thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's about like a buck 84.
No one can convince – oh, I mean, it's not – rocket science to see that, like, since he messed up his hip, he's just unable to drive the ball. So, like, and that's kind of the A's issue. It's like no depth, They, you know, you watch the Giants and you're like, man, it must be nice to have like 13 starters instead of what the A's are currently rolling out, which is like six starters and then just like hobbling together a couple players on top of it. So, but I do agree with you that case, there is a world in which it can happen for the A's. The problem with the A's is it's always the same thing. It's like they have the foundation to where they can compete, and it's just not quite there. Anyway.
Couple players short.
Always a couple players short. All right. So, gun to your head, metaphorically, of course. Who would you bet on of all these Bay Area teams to win a title next?
I think it's the Giants. And I think it's the Giants in the next couple years, because I don't think it's this year. But I think what this year showed me was A, that Farhan Zaidi's really damn good at his job. And I think because of that, they're going to just kind of be contenders every year. But this team wasn't supposed to be good yet, and they're already good. So while next year, I don't think they'll win 104 or 105 or whatever the hell many they're going to win this year, but I think they'll be more complete. They're going to be players, I think, in free agency for a Javi Baez or for a Max Scherzer or whoever's going to be on the free agent market. I think they're going to be players for them. And they're going to improve, I think, dramatically this offseason while also continuing to fill in the gaps in their lineup with really capable players and putting those players in spots where they can be successful. And that's not even mentioning the guys they have coming up through their farm system. I know, you know, maybe it's not Bart and Ramos just yet, or Luciano just yet, but you like those guys eventually in the next couple of years. But I think it's the Giants because of what they've done this year. And I think what they're going to look like once Farhan has kind of a better idea of what he has in front of him and getting the chance to go spend a little bit in free agency.
It makes sense. I do agree with you. I expect them to be in the playoffs probably every season going forward. Like it feels like the Dodgers when Friedman stuff took over, and it's like, all right, well, you're going to win 95 games every year minimum, and you're going to be in the mix. And like a down year for you is winning 92 games and like sneaking into the playoffs type of thing.
Exactly. Yep.
So just the simple fact they're in it makes them competitive, but I'm going to go with the Niners. And I'm going to make my case for you,
ooh,
which is I'm going to start listing off names and ages. George Kittle, 27. Ayuk is what? 22, 23. Debo, 24, 25. On the defensive side, every one of these players is under 27. Eric Armstead, Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, Greenlaw. I just keep going down the line. They have a ridiculous amount of Pro Bowl caliber talents and guys who are generally going to be Pro Bowlers if they stay healthy under the age of 30. I don't even think, like, how dependent are they on older guys at this point? I mean, you mentioned like Javon Kinlaw and stuff like that. I think
Trey Lance.
Yeah, I was going to say this year might be a little tough because, you know, it's either Jimmy Garoppolo or rookie quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
But going into next year, it's not like this is the 2014 Niners with a bunch of older guys, like where you're like, this might be their last rodeo type, their last shot at it. This Niners team actually is probably set up to peak next season. And if you don't think the Giants are going to win a World Series in 2021, the Niners probably are the closest of any of the teams to being dominant. So I'm going to go with the Niners as the next Bay Area team to win it all. In fact, I might pick all three Bay Area teams that we listed here to win in 2023. That's what it feels like to me. Give Farhan another like year and a half to continue filling out this roster and getting a little more high-end talent there as opposed to just like depth. And they're really good right now. But like they could use maybe another like high-end pitcher or two to like truly compete with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Give the Warriors a year to get Clay back and kind of whether it's young guys improving or it's trading and like retooling around the margins. It feels like as much as I'd like, it's not out of the realm that they become a contender come springtime this year, but like the following year feels like a safer bet, if anything. Yeah. I'm going to bet on the Niners 2023 Super Bowl being the next time we see a parade in the Bay Area.
So the 2023 season or January 2023 or February?
January, the 2022 season where the Super Bowl is, I don't know, like February 4th or whatever of 2023. That's what I'm betting on.
Wow. So Trey Lance starting all 17 games.
He's the starter by next season. I mean, I think he's a starter by week 8, just to be honest. But like,
sure.
I think this will be the year that they threaten everyone and he shows some stuff. And next year will be the year that it is, oh God, these guys. And then you'll get all the national people being like, they're going to win 5 Super Bowls in a row because of all the talent. Like that ever happens because it's football.
Right.
But like, you know, they have a chance to be that type of team.
And I think that's what they wanted too. They talked about building this roster for like the long haul, like, they wanted to extend the championship window, and I think they've done a pretty good job of that. The lone hiccup that I think really stands out, and when I envision the 49ers winning it this year or winning it next year, one of the things I always come back to is how much better you'd feel about their defense if it was DeForest Buckner in the middle of their defensive line. And at the time they traded Buckner, I was like, oh, this makes all the sense. It frees up money to do this and that. You pay Armstead a little less, but you get to keep Jimmy Ward and you get to do this and that. It turns out that they could have just kept Buckner and let Armstead go.
But for all you know, I thought Javon Kinlaw had a pretty good rookie year.
Totally.
I'm just saying by then he might be destroyer of worlds. You know, like we're talking about year 3 for him.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I was more talking this year, but yeah, I guess maybe by next season. But is he going to be? I mean, the only way you can get a player better than DeForest Buckner is if you have Aaron Donald,
right?
And I don't, at least at that position. And is Javon Kinlaw going to be at that level? I don't think so. Now, like you said, maybe in a couple years he's
that's kind of a high bar.
Yeah, maybe in a couple years he's just kind of a force the same way Buckner was. Maybe he's not as productive, but you know he's
but you still got
a good replacement.
But you still got Armstead, Nick Bosa. I mean, I think his Super Bowl is overlooked in terms of how dominant he was the best player on the field. Obviously, he tore his ACL, but ACL hasn't exactly been kind of the career threatening injury for football players, particularly at that age, that it is in like other sports. So there is a real chance in the next year or two, like he might be the best DN in football. Kinlaw might be Pro Bowl caliber by then. Eric Armstead is Pro Bowl caliber. Like they could be a completely dominant defense by that point. So I think everything's pointing up for them. Like they talent's not an issue. It's a question of if it comes together and like peaks at the right time.
Yeah, and that's where like there's a legitimate case to be made where the 49ers win it this year.
That's true.
I wouldn't bet on it, but the case is there. Like if you, Sam, came from the future and said, "Hey, I'm from March 2022 and the 49ers are Super Bowl champions," I'd be like, "Oh wow, they had everything go right for them." But yeah, I think 2022, if things go mostly right in 21, I think they're going to be a team a lot of people are circling as among the Super Bowl favorites in the NFC or in the NFL next season.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, let's open this up to callers. Let's see what other people have to say. Alex, what's up, man?
What's up, Alex?
I have three quick thoughts to add. First, Sam, on your A's. I feel like, especially in the 2020 year where basically nobody had revenue to worry about and right. salaries that were paid to the players were a third of their usual amount, it's kind of baffling that Billy B didn't take that year and say, I'm going like all the way in hindsight. And even like, I think it's crazy to say this, the exact trade they made for Marte with the Marlins could have been made with the D-backs last year and brought Marte in last year. Maybe he's not this type of player, but that could have happened. So for the A's, I think last year truly was that window and it feels missed, and it's only going to feel more missed when they don't extend Chapman and Olson here.
They also, I mean, it is not to get all into the A's talk, but Matt Olson was not this good last year. And Matt Chapman Correct. Tore up his hip in the middle of the season last year.
Right.
So, and, but you are right. That was kind of probably when the team was peaking, particularly since like Liam Hendricks was easily the best reliever in baseball. They still had Marcus Simeon and all that stuff. Yeah.
So for the Giants, Grant Brisby actually said this recently on The Athletic in his podcast. And I think it's a great point that you guys kind of touched on with them for their title chances this year, is that they're not really as many home runs and other things that they hit. What Grant said is that they're a mistake dependent team, and they're a team that needs other teams and especially other pitchers to make mistakes over the plate, and then they bash them. And when you face Walker Buehler maybe twice in a postseason series, at whatever point you might face the Dodgers, he just doesn't do that. And that's going to probably be the same case with Scherzer, potentially even with Urias or Kershaw that they throw as a left-hander. Like the Giants, the problem will be in the postseason. As you face better competition, they're going to make less mistakes. So then you have to make even less mistakes on your end. And I'm not as confident in their starting pitching as I maybe was a month ago, say for Logan Webb. And so it's tricky. However, that's why I think the Niners this year have a much higher shot than people give them credit for. And I have a scenario, which is basically the Eagles situation happens all over again, with the only twist being Lance takes over in the middle of the season. But let's just...
Ooh, I like this. I like this.
So
Nick Foles, Trey Lance is Nick Foles?
No.
Or the 49ers trade for Nick Foles.
I'm actually saying the inverse of this, Sam. I'm saying Trey Lance takes over in the middle of the season, but if we expect them to use Trey Lance as a runner, it's not, you know, that will be the one thing in terms of durability that people don't necessarily know with Trey. And it's not far-fetched to, you know, I'm not envisioning an injury and I wouldn't wish that upon, but like, it's not hard to see that being an issue. But then Garoppolo comes back in after being ousted as the starter and is basically playing for his next contract and leads them a la Foles to a Super Bowl. I feel like that might actually be Kyle Shanahan's dream, because then you can use that to trade Garoppolo away for a bounty if you've literally just won the Super Bowl with him and you don't make the same mistake the Eagles did and hold on to Foles even though you don't plan on starting him.
I think Kyle Shanahan's dream is that Trey Lance wins the Super Bowl. No, I don't think that happens though, because if Jimmy Garoppolo sits, I think it's because he's not good enough to win the Super Bowl.
I mean, I think that's exactly the point. And if they're good enough with Lance, you would want him to do that because that's why he's starting. But I can also see Garoppolo getting into like FU mode to the extent that he's like, I know I'm leaving here, but I want to go out on top and make it hard for y'all. The kind of the way that what happened with Foles in Philly, basically, in that sense.
I think the other way could happen too,
obviously, where Lance takes over and goes like astronomical. But I agree with everybody just in the, it's going to be hard to conceptualize a rookie leading their way to a Super Bowl in that way, because it's literally never happened. And it's just hard to see it. But I could see that like, that move happening, and then, oh no, Lance, you know, something happens, because durability for both of these guys is a little bit of a question mark. So it's better to have both. So
I could see, I could actually, Alex. I could actually, what's the thing with Alex's scenario that that we haven't really talked about is, I don't even know if you need the Lance availability thing in there. You might just get like, this is the whole Jimmy Garoppolo going, into FU mode, like that might just start week one. Maybe it just kind of happens. Like he sees Lance getting a couple snaps here and there, and he's just like, man, screw this. Like, I'm just gonna.
I was talking about it with like some of my friends, and
I'm trying to talk
chats.
Myself into that, and I can't. But go ahead.
And I was just like, the most Jimmy Garoppolo thing of all time would be getting on an ultimate hot streak now that his replacement is in town. You know, like.
Yep.
Like, we've all watched Jimmy. We know his good qualities and his bad qualities. And it would just be so on brand for him to turn into like 2006 Drew Brees randomly, where he's like the hyper efficient quarterback for no apparent reason, just because of that. Like, he does have a flair for the dramatic in those sort of ways. So it's not out of the realm. Like, I don't know. What's the expression? You have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks. But like,
exactly.
There are worse things than having a guy who's at least been the quarterback of a Super Bowl team that got to the Super Bowl, and a guy you took this high. So,
yeah, and that's right. That's the truly unique thing is a team 2 years removed from a Super Bowl has never picked a quarterback third overall.
Right.
Like this is a pretty unique scenario. It's super interesting to see how it's going to play out. Whether it results in a title or not, I have no idea, but it's going to be fascinating.
Absolutely. Let's keep moving. Nick, hey, what's guys. Up, man?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Yes, sir.
Cool. Just first one, I say Candlestick Chronicles, Warriors World, two of my favorite pods. So
my man.
Love the collab. I think the underrated thing, just to talk more about the projections of each of the teams, Shanahan is young. He's not going anywhere, and he's arguably the best offensive weapon for the Niners. And then secondly, Kevin Clark, the Ringer, is all about the rookie contract. So I don't think it's realistic for the Niners this year. I'd love it for it to happen. But over the next 2 to 3 years, the combo of the rookie contract under Lance, if he can progress, plus Shanahan and just in his bag, so to speak, I think we have the best shot to win a Super Bowl over the other teams.
I like it. I don't disagree with anything you're saying, Nick. The real question is, do the Giants or Warriors win before that? You know what I'm saying? Like, I think the Niners are very well positioned to be competing for Super Bowls for the next 3 to 5 years. I hesitate to even go 5 years because it's the NFL. But they're like in a
long run.
Yeah, they're in a very good position to be in the mix for the short term future. It's just a question of, do they pull it off before maybe the Giants or the Niners or the A's do?
It's just so damn hard to win a Super Bowl. I need to talk yourself into it.
I can hear it.
No, I have so many questions about, like, because it starts with the quarterback, right? That's what matters the most, more than anything. And when you're talking Super Bowls, you have to look at both conferences, and it's Mahomes and it's Lamar Jackson and it's Tom Brady and it's Aaron Rodgers and it's maybe Matthew Stafford with the Rams. Like, I'm all in on that idea. Russell Wilson, I think Cliff Kingsbury's a bad coach, so I'm going to leave Kyler Murray out of this. But I mean, that's
that would be good for my fantasy team, that's for sure.
I just named seven quarterbacks who are in two tiers higher than where Garoppolo is. But if Trey Lance is good, if Trey Lance is who the 49ers think he is, if you tell me that, if you give me that, if you say, hey, Trey Lance is going to be the player the 49ers think he is, then I would put the 49ers next.
I don't hate it.
But
I
have concerns about what he looks like this year if and when he takes over the starting role. What he looks like next year in his first full season as a starter, and then you got to get into 2023. And the question then becomes, okay, if you're marking 2023, which is kind of where I'm at, are you putting the Warriors or the Giants to win one before then? And I think I might be.
Yeah, I can see it. All right, keep moving. Jacob, what's up, my man?
Oh, there he is.
Hey, guys. I'd love to bring the Warriors back into this discussion. It seems wild to me.
Let's do it.
We're projecting. We're banking on the Giants and Niners based off the projection of their youngsters and their current core and foundation that they have set in place. Meanwhile, there's a team in San Francisco with a championship core already in place with a group of guys who have been there, done that, led the greatest dynasty the NBA has ever seen. I think if we're talking little moves among the margins and what ifs that we need to make this hypothetical happen, I think it's the Warriors who have the smallest what ifs or things to fall in place to make that happen. I think they have three Hall of Fame championship caliber players, a great ownership group that can be debated, and coach and GM that know how to win. Just a matter of whether or not they pull the trigger on the right move when it comes around, because it will come around and they have the assets to pull it off. So, and they have the championship.
Jacob, is the most important part. So I agree with you. If Klay Thompson comes back healthy, for me, that is the big if, because you are right. No other basketball requires the fewest amount of players. Like, you could say, like, oh, well, the Giants have Brandon Belt, Crawford, and Posey, but it's like, it's baseball. The Angels have Trout and Ohtani, and they're awful, right? Like, that doesn't get done. Whereas in basketball, you have three guys who matter. You're in the mix, period, right? So the question becomes, it's really just about Klay to me. Like, if you tell me Klay is going to be Klay Thompson by next spring, I'm immediately pivoting towards them being the favorite in the Bay Area because they've done it before. And they need, like, if Klay's Klay, we're really just asking them to find a guy who can play 15 to 20 postseason minutes.
Okay. And like I said with Lance, if you're telling me Lance is going to be who they think it, I'm with you. I'm right there with you. If you're telling me you get 90% of the Klay Thompson that got hurt in game six of the 2019 finals, because now the Patty Mills of the world and the Nick Batums of the world. Thank you. All I could come up with was Boris Diaw, and I knew that wasn't right.
I mean, he's kind of the new age Boris Diaw, so it makes sense.
That's a good point. Yeah. The Warriors, I think, become more attractive to guys like that versus right now. They're like, yeah, hey, don't know what Klay looks like. Want to go sign elsewhere. I think that's right. And I think that's pretty spot on. One quibble with what Jacob said, that I think fits your podcast brand. He said they have a coach that knows how to win. That's another question.
Hey man, he has a lot of rings. Lord of the Rings.
Boy does it.
The Warriors are definitely the sleeping giant in this bunch. They have both the biggest question and the least questions. Like, it's really as simple as, what does Klay look like when he comes back? Because if Klay looks like Klay, it's not that hard to make those ancillary moves to put yourself in the mix. But if Klay doesn't look like Klay, we're not acknowledging that reality. So, whereas the other teams, they don't have a question as big as the Klay Thompson one, but they have a bunch of like little questions up and down the line.
Is Klay Thompson's health the biggest turning point for any team?
I think so. But are you talking about in the Bay Area or the NBA?
Yeah, in the Bay Area.
Yeah, because give me a comparable for the Giants or the Niners or the A's, really.
The like, Niners one is if Trey Lance is good.
Okay, so quarterback is, to be fair, yeah, quarterback is comparable to an NBA superstar, like in terms of like the way that they can raise or destroy a franchise, right? Like,
yeah,
it can go either direction. So I guess it's a comparable question. The difference between the Trey and the Klay question is we've seen Klay do it.
Right.
At the highest level.
Right.
So we're wondering, does his body still allow him to be that guy?
Right.
Whereas with Trey, I don't want to compare him to James Wiseman or something like that, but it's like huge prospect, huge talent. We don't really know where he is on the trajectory until we see him in actual NFL games.
Right. I think the other thing with Clay is that what he does just for the Warriors as a whole, like how much better he makes everybody else. And then I talked about in the NFC, like with the Niners, how the NFC is wide open. The West in the NBA might be even more wide open.
Are you not a Westbrook guy?
Turns out, no, not a Westbrook guy. But I just, is Anthony Davis going to give you a season and then 20 playoff games?
I mean, he gave them one and then he didn't. He's kind of an every other season guy at this point, right? Like, I don't know.
Even your magic.
I know what he's capable of when he's right. Like, there's no other way around that. Like, when he's physically right, he's absolutely just destroys you. You would say
the West is not wide open then. It's the Lakers and then everyone else.
The West is wide open in the sense of the Lakers are very old. And there's a lot of, you know, who knows what they're getting with some of their guys at this stage. But I still feel like they're easily the favorite. Okay. Everyone else in the West, I mean, I would say the Clippers would be scary, but Kawhi's out. Denver was moving towards a good thing, but Jamal Murray's out. Utah, how many times have we seen that song and dance, right? Phoenix is objectively good, but they do not scare me. They do not feel like let's just say like Brooklyn and Milwaukee feel a lot scarier than Phoenix. So I do think the path for the Warriors is less daunting than the West has been in the past, but it all comes back to Clay, right?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to keep it moving. Uh-oh. We got Aaron on the line. Aaron Larsoul. What is up, my man?
All right. So I'm enjoying the conversation, but Sammy, I got a bone to pick with you. This
you coming A's, with some heat?
Yeah. This A's erasure / slander will not be tolerated. I expected better from you.
Oh boy.
But the correct answer is the 49ers for a handful of reasons. They have the best, they probably relative to everybody, they have the best roster. A couple callers ago mentioned how unique, and then you guys followed up with it about how unique the Trey Lance scenario is. And it is similar to the Warriors, right? A team with that kind of roster talent being able to draft in the lottery, three lottery picks 2 years in a row, similar to the Spurs, let's say, back in the Tim Duncan era when they were able to get Tim Duncan after a year without the Admiral.
Robinson.
So, and then a couple callers ago, he mentioned the key often in the NFL is being able to maintain a roster because your quarterback isn't getting quarterback money. So hopefully the 49ers have something with Trey Lance. They can move on from the money with Jimmy Garoppolo, and that will enable them for a handful of years to keep this really talented roster that you laid out, especially with guys in their prime, be able to keep it intact. However, I would also like a special dispensation for if the first time in my life, my California Golden Bears actually win the Pac-12 now. Can I get some love for that?
Pro sports only, my man. Pro sports only tonight.
Yeah.
I think they're going to dominate the Pac-12 in rugby.
Well, that always happens. And swimming and diving, too. All the sports nobody cares about.
Hell yeah. Let's talk diving.
All the stuff nobody cares about. I just want one Rose Bowl before I die.
Bro, you better start getting out.
I better start living better, living better than I do now. But speaking of Cal,
yes,
and teams at least getting to the Super Bowl because they could spend $1 billion because they had a rookie quarterback. So when the Rams went to the Super Bowl, Jared Goff was their quarterback on his rookie deal, and that enabled them to spend gobs of money everywhere else. So theoretically, that's a model. If the Niners can move off of Garoppolo, that's kind of a model that they can follow.
Or the Chiefs spent. I mean, they get Frank Clark. They spend on a bunch of players. Well, they know they don't have to pay Mahomes any money,
and so, got off D4 at exactly the right time.
It's a tried and true model.
By the way, good D4, camp.
Looking good. My man's back. I'm all in on it.
Be good, brother. I'll see you next week.
Appreciate
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, Aaron.
All right. We're going to end it with McWalters like we always do. McWalters, what's up, my man?
Hey, yo. Thanks for having me in there. Hey, I have to say, you have to go with the team that's going to be in the playoffs first. The Giants. How are the Giants not the most likely one to be there? They're going to have the first shot at it. They're already in the practically already in the playoffs, and baseball is relatively fluky. I mean, for all we know, the Giants end up second best record, and the Dodgers and Padres fight it out and then play the Brewers, and we walk through whoever wins the NL East and go on there. And 49ers, you know, they also are up early because they got a last place schedule they get to play, or pretty close to last place schedule, that lines them up very well before even the Warriors even sniff a chance at the playoffs. Now, that being said, I agree the Warriors roster is stronger than both. And if it was me, I'd say I don't think either of those teams will make it, the Giants or the 49ers, to win it. But they got the first crack at it, so you got to say it's the Giants because they're going to be in the darn playoffs.
I don't know.
I like it.
How much I like their chances in the playoffs, though. That's the deal. Like, I get that, like, he's right. He's not wrong at all. But it's just a matter of
just the way the calendar works. They will get the first shot at it.
They definitely will. But like I said, I have major questions about the sustainability of this roster against rosters like Milwaukee and the Dodgers. And then, like I said, you have to go over to the AL now too. If you're talking World Series, and you have the White Sox and you have the Red Sox and you have the Yankees and you have the Astros. There are so many teams talented than the Giants.
I just want to give you a hat tip for laying off. Like you tried to list every team possible before getting the Astros. Really?
Yeah, of course. I was going to leave them out entirely, but
they're going to win it all.
It feels just like they are so loaded.
Yes,
they're just a nightmare, dude. That it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it feels like the inevitable end to sports is them winning it after the cheating scandal. Anyway, we're going to leave it here. Appreciate everyone tuning in. Kyle, I appreciate you for coming on. Yeah, I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, dude.
I think, if nothing else, it's going to be a good couple of years for the Bay Area, if not longer, because I think all these teams are well-positioned.
Yeah, I think that's what's so exciting about being in this area right now is every team, like coming off the Warriors' run, it was kind of like, oh, maybe might be some lean years here, but then the Niners were good, and now the Giants are good again, and the Niners should be pretty good, and the Warriors are going to be right there. It's going to be a lot of fun, and then the A's are going to do their A's thing. I'm really looking forward to the next 5 to 6 years.
Get our hopes up for a nice, you know, kick to the nuts. That's how it goes. All right, guys. Appreciate you all for tuning in. Appreciate you, Kyle.